This week on Two-Faced Wrestling Talk.
The G1 is underway, and if night one was any indication, it's going to be an unpredictable month of wrestling in New Japan. We will look back at night one in Big D and some of the outstanding matches, including Osprey Archer, Ibushi Kenta, and Okada Tanahashi. But that wasn't the only wrestling in Dallas last weekend. Impact's Slammiversary was a wild pay-per-view, with the women arguably stealing the show. We will discuss that and break down other great matches from that show. WWE goes extreme this weekend, but what matches at Extreme Rules are Kelsey and I excited about? And AEW is ready for its next event as they travel to Jacksonville for Fight for the Fallen. We will tell you what we're looking forward to seeing in person this weekend. Plus, we interview the artist behind the Two-Face logo with a chance for you to win some of his exclusive artwork from StarCast 2. A tropical storm is bearing down on us in Louisiana, but it won't stop us from talking wrestling next.
WrestlingInc.com brings you Two-Faced Wrestling Talk, the podcast that goes beyond WWE and goes in depth on NJPW, AEW, ROH, PWG, and more. Also featuring fun pop culture and wrestling crossovers, listener Q&As, and extended discussions about wrestling topics past, present, and future. Now, here's your host, Kelsey.
Hi, and welcome to Two-Face Wrestling Talk. I'm joined, as I am every week, by my co-host, Paul.
Yep, we are back from Dallas, about to head to Jacksonville, and in between, we're making preparations for, well, if you're to believe the news, a big storm is coming. Other people are downplaying it, but either way, we got a tropical storm or something like it hitting New Orleans here in the next couple days. We won't be here to experience it, so...
No. It's so, cool when the wind blows outside.
Yeah.
But we don't want any flooding, no.
No flooding, and we just had a bunch of it in New Orleans from a big rainstorm on Tuesday, I think that was?
Yeah. Wednesday.
Yeah, it was Wednesday, you're right. And if you're in the North or the Midwest and you don't know much about hurricanes, you know, as bad as the storms are and the damage they cause, when you live in the South... During the summer, the worst part about the hurricane is the storm comes and goes and you lose the power and there's no air conditioning for 3 days.
It's the worst.
Yeah, it's awful. Like, you literally just can't sleep.
It really is terrible. Like, I remember this one time, like, the electricity was out for, like, 4 days. Oh, my God, it was the worst. No TV, just a radio, sweating. We'd open up the front door, and it's hot out there, too. It's like, this sucked. There's nowhere to get cool. There's, like, one house I knew of around, because sections were getting power back at a time, and I had to go over to the house.
I'm gonna date myself to a hurricane. It would have been, like, 2003 when I was living in Orlando, and I had just busted up my ribs. So the hurricane goes through town. I've got this huge bandage on my ribs because I had dislocated my ribs. And I literally just sat in the sweltering heat with this wrap on, drinking Jim Beam and watching the Olympics on an old Sony Watchman. Did you ever have one of those or see one of those? The little 2-inch battery-powered TVs?
No, I'm young. I did not have one of those.
Well, I'm sure you heard of them. 2003, you would have at least seen those.
Those still existed
yes,
then?
They did. Okay, anyways, I watched the Olympics in pain, drinking lots of Jim Beam in the sweltering heat. It was not fun.
I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't have been dumb and went river rafting.
Well, yeah.
And fell out.
Well, I can tell that whole story. I totally blame the guide. A boat full of high school girls and the boat in front of us made it through the rapids just fine. So,
story for another day. Yeah, well, I'll just blame it on you.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I blame it on my buddy Joe, then. If I can't blame the guide, I'll blame my buddy.
I'll blame Joe, too. I'd rather blame him. Let's do that. Okay. But if you guys are like us and you enjoy traveling, Paul just talked about a trip where he went rafting. We were just talking about how we just went to Dallas. You can do some traveling with Wrestling Travel, our great sponsor. We're so proud to be associated with them. Go to wrestlingtravel.org, and they will help you get to one-of-a-kind wrestling events, and that includes All Out, that includes Wrestle Kingdom, flipping 2 days in Japan. Actually, it's more than 2 days. 2 days, but the event itself is right. is 2 days this time, and it's going to be incredible. And you get to hang out with fat ass Masa. I think that's really neat. I've said that week after week, but I mean, that's one of the coolest things of that particular package, I gotta say. And you'd be witnessing history in general. Plus, if you like WWE a lot, they've got Royal Rumble packages, and they just released more info on their WrestleMania package. And I think that's really cool. There's some options on that one that you should check out. Again, go to wrestlingtravel.org, and also you can go and find them on social media at Wrestling Travel.
Support them because they are a great supporter of our show, and they've got some great packages. They've lowered some prices on some things. Make sure you check them out. Social media, where can we find Kelsey?
At Superkickingit, SuperKickingIt. Follow me on there. Let's superkick it together. It'll be a superkick party.
And you can find Two Face Wrestling Talk at Two Face Pod or twofacepod.com.
Yep.
So let's get to what was a fun weekend in Dallas, I gotta say. Two great shows in Dallas.
And a ton of beer. Yeah. It was like so much beer. Yeah. Man, I had 6 beers the night of Slammiversary. And they were all really good.
Yeah, well, I mean, remember the trip started. You saw or heard our interview with Beer City Bruiser. We were in Milwaukee last week.
Right.
Went from Milwaukee to Dallas specifically for the 2 wrestling shows and for a soccer shoot I had to do. But the 2 wrestling shows were the G1 and Impact Slammiversary, which we'll get to in a minute. But we're going to start with the G1 in Dallas. Initial thoughts on the environment and the show as a whole.
So the environment was rowdy, and that's no surprise because this is like, gosh, it has to be at least my 4th or 5th New Japan show in the U.S., and I've enjoyed every one of them because the crowd is so into it, and that really adds a lot as a fellow audience member, and I think people at home like it too. So all around, it's a really good time, and the crowd adds to it. Having said that, yes, they were loud, but I feel like they were lacking in size. There was a lot of empty seats, and that kind of upset me. However, people have pointed out, well, it's in Dallas, which, you know, I think it was a decent turnout considering where it was, and they haven't really run there in the South, so it's kind of like a hard place to draw right now, mm-hmm. I think. But also, you know, there was all these situations with them selling tickets, and it was just a hard thing. But all things being said, I think they did decently well.
Yeah, I never saw an official attendance. I figured it was about a 6,000 crowd, something like that. Obviously, you would like it to be bigger, but people have also brought out a good point that, you know, We kind of got spoiled with that age of all wrestling shows are sold out, and that's not the way it is. You know, WWE has reduced crowds, but I think that's more reflective of the product right now. G1 is kind of getting a foothold in the United States, and look, even the
that was the first G1 show right. in the U.S., yeah, for sure.
But even the other New Japan shows out on the West Coast, you know, last year when they ran some shows where they didn't really bring many of their stars, remember, because of the visa issues.
That could have hurt sales a little bit.
Could have. So, all in all, I wasn't overly disappointed in the crowd. You know, I thought, you know, when you saw the wide shot on TV, I thought it looked good on TV. I don't think it was bad.
But you know what? Having said the crowd was a little disappointing for the Dallas show, I think their loop in the Northeast is going to be pretty darn great of a turnout. I think they could sell out all 3
well,
shows.
Well, all smaller buildings. So
well,
I think,
and iconic venues.
Yeah, so that's going to be cool. That was one of the big announcements at the show this weekend, that they announced that there will be shows in the Northeast in New York, Philadelphia, and Boston.
Yeah, and like in Philly, they're going to be in the ECW Arena.
Yeah.
And they're going to be at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Like, come on. I wish we could go.
Yeah.
So bad. Yep. So bad.
Of course, that's right in the middle of football season for
yeah,
us, so we can't go. But it should be a lot of fun, and those shows are going to be awesome and hot crowds as well. But this show, I thought the crowd was really into it. And I do want to circle back. A lot of people, you know, brought up, you know, why Dallas? Well, remember, Mark Cuban owns the Dallas Mavericks, owns Access TV, or is a stakeholder in Access TV on DirecTV, which is where New Japan airs. So it was a chance to bring his product to his home arena on his home network. So that's kind of the basis behind that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So to the show itself, and we'll start with the early action, and we talk about this all the time. Everybody does tag team matches leading up to future events. Nobody seems to do it as well as New Japan. And one of the first matches was Ishii and Shota versus Cobb and Morita. And they set up this future showdown between Cobb and Ishii...
That will be happening this weekend.
Right.
It might have already happened if you're listening to this podcast later than Friday or Saturday or Sunday, but I'm really looking forward to it. As of right now of our recording, we have not seen it. It's going to be happening soon in the future, and man, their stare down and their, like, interaction, they were just dying to get at each other.
Yeah, the running into each other off the ropes. I mean, those collisions were great.
Two beasts.
Yeah, I can't wait for that match. Other tag team matches, you know, kind of set the stage. You know, Yanu, I thought was interesting, got a huge pop from the Dallas crowd.
I love Yanu. Yeah. He started undoing the turnbuckle cover, and I was like, classic Yanu. And everyone loved it.
And then I loved... in that six-man tag, Naito eventually got the corner pad, and he got, like, this big grin, like he was evilly going to use it.
Yeah, he was going to turn the tables on Yanu kind of thing.
But, of course, Yanu, some chicanery, got the low blow on Bushi and got the win. And I love Juice picking up the little kid as he's going back up the ramp, and the kid's screaming in terror. And Juice,
how did you even see him screaming from our seats?
I could just tell the kid didn't look happy.
I don't know. I don't think I could tell that. Everything was cool. He was holding up the baby. And, like, this brings me back to this whole A+, B+ conversation about Juice. Juice was flipping over in this show, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone in the arena was like, Juice, Juice, Juice. So my friend John, big paws on a pup, you're wrong. He's an A player. And the crowd truly thought that and agreed with me. Not John. They didn't agree with him at all.
And we've seen it in person already, but another great salute to Liger as he exited the arena, the Dallas crowd saluting him as well.
And when he entered, he got a huge pop both going into the ring and leaving. I love that, but that's no surprise. You know, we saw that at G1 Supercard. We've seen it many times for Liger. He's really a legend and always will be, but alas, it's his last year.
The show kicked off, by the way, we get Roppongi 3K versus GOD. I love Tama Tonga's antics, and the crowd was almost 50-50 split. They really liked both teams.
Yeah.
But Tama Tonga I know I say it so much. He's just so awesome. The heel work he does and
the smoothness.
The interaction with the crowd is always so good. The stuff he says to the crowd, he's just awesome.
I really love him a lot. And then, of course, to me, our first G1 match, that was my match of the night.
Yeah.
And that was Ospreay versus Archer. Archer comes out with a flipping completely new look. He's got this crazy red hair. I was like, oh, he looks so bad, eh? And you're like, it's weird. You thought the hair was weird.
I didn't think it was as intimidating as he used to be.
I think it was more intimidating.
Really?
I don't know. But we saw the water again, and after he spit out the water, he closed his water bottle and threw it on the ground, and it bounced up like a billion feet in the air. It bounced so high, people were like, oh, there was some kind of bouncing material in that water bottle. I don't even know what material they said.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
They were like, there's rubber in there or something.
And I love, as soon as Archer comes to the ring, he just belts a young lion, very Suzuki-esque.
Yeah, I mean, and that makes sense since he's a part of Suzuki-Goon, so that's awesome. I just loved how it seemed like Archer was kind of transforming his whole persona in a way. I mean, he still was like the same old Archer, but just different. And I think that's good in what he needs to do if he's breaking away and going the singles route now that, you know, Junior is gone. He's got to stand out and be different if he's going to get this singles push, which clearly, with the results of the match, spoiler, Ospreay lost.
Yeah.
And Archer won, which is a huge, huge win for Archer. So I think that shows that they're serious about him as a singles guy.
I like Lance Archer a lot, and his personality, his look, his athleticism, I like him a lot. And he did some things in this match. There was one point where Will chops Archer, and we could hear from the seats. Archer yells, "You effed up now."
Yeah.
And then later, Archer caught Ospreay and chokeslammed him through that table, which was an awesome, brutal, like, over the railing under the table. It was funny from our perspective. You saw the American announce team, you saw the other announce team, and there was just, or no, I'm sorry, not the other announce team, the ring announcer's table, and there was just this empty table. And it didn't even cross my mind, like, why is that just sitting there?
They're going to use it, that's why.
And sure enough, they used it.
That crazy Spanish fly off the top.
Oh, yeah.
That was nuts.
I thought, you know, they sold it well. They always do in Japan anyways, but they barely beaten the 20 count when they were way up on the ramp. I thought that was good.
That was really good. And, man, you know, it reminded me of that Jeff Cobb spot back at, or was that Keith Lee? I'm sorry. It reminds me of that Keith Lee PWG match. Archer basically shoulder checked Ospreay, sending him flying across the ring. Remember how crazy he flew?
Yeah.
It was like he's a feather.
Yeah, Ospreay goes flying.
Like, that was nuts.
Like he weighed nothing.
Honestly, that was my favorite match of the whole show. Yeah. So good. And really, I am going to eat my words because I was criticizing saying, they already met once. How is this match going to live up to it? But to tell you the truth, it exceeded their last match. And I really loved their last match. I just thought, how much more different stuff can they do? You know, Archer's such a big guy. To me, I'm thinking, yeah, he's athletic, but I'm thinking it's more going to be very minimal what they can do with what he does. But they expanded it. They made it a lot different. I've got to give them credit. They surprised me, and I eat my words. I'm happy to be wrong. They really proved me wrong and went all out with the second match. It was completely just totally opposite of last time.
Right.
Just different things.
And not just the result, but yeah, they did a ton of different moves from that first one, so it really was really good.
Last word on that match, lots of people think that's Archer's best match as of right now.
I mean, he, you know, certainly in his New Japan run as in singles, I would have to agree from what I've seen.
I have to agree. Yeah. It was an amazing match. I really loved it.
The next match was Evil and Fale. Not much to report on this, although the result was a surprise as Fale hit a low blow and then his version of the Razor's Edge and got the victory. So right off the bat, we're like, wow, that's two surprises right out of the
way. Surprising finishes there. Then I thought ZSJ versus Sonata was really, really good. Lots of reversals right in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I love when sequences are so smooth and neat like that. Very creative.
I loved ZSJ, perfect heel work. He was toying with the 20 count with the Japanese ring announcer, who's great because he's so serious about his job. And he's doing his count, and ZSJ is toying with him. And just as he hits 19, which, go ahead and give me the 19.
19?
19!
Actually, it's more like urgent than that. Yeah. It's like, 19? I can't do it.
ZSJ just looks at him, flips him off, and then crawls back into the ring. Sonata, of course, did the Paradise Lock, but did it a little different as he wrapped Saber around the bottom rope.
Let me ask you, did this make you like the Paradise Lock anymore, or you still hate it just as much?
I don't like it, especially, I think, again, it comes down to the stupidity of booting him in the butt.
Yeah.
You know, I could live with it if you dropped an elbow or something. The little kick to the ass is just silliness to me.
And
but it was a little
so much time before he gets there. Some people really do truly hate that move. I know there's a few other people who
hate
it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I know you're not.
Sonata won after a series of reversals. I don't know if that was a surprise.
It's not a surprise because I think Sonata's going to do great in this G1. It's not the person who I really want to win or anything, but I think he's going to have a really high point value at the end. So,
and yeah. Saber was irate at the end and went to attacking the ref, which was good stuff.
Great character work, like usual, by ZSJ.
The match that I thought was probably second best of the night, although, you know, it left me wanting more, too, was Ibushi and Kenta. And before the match even started, this was Red Shoe's first match of the night.
Yeah.
It was insane how over he was. He was high-fiving fans as he came down the ramp. Then he got a cheer from the crowd. At one point, they started chanting, "Red Shoes, Red Shoes," and he's doing bows to the crowd.
I love Red Shoes.
Kind of like a sheepish smile on his face, like, why am I getting so much attention?
Yeah, I love him so much. I gotta say, there's one word to describe this match. Stiff! I mean, man, Kenta, those kicks, everything, so stiff.
Well,
seeming at least.
I talked about the cheers for Red Shoes. The ovation for Kenta was awesome. And we talk about it sometimes where you can tell, you know, because these guys are performers, but there's times you can tell something gets to them. And I think Kenta was truly moved and kind of took it all in when the crowd went crazy for him when he came to the ring.
I think that is accurate as hell, because it just seemed like it meant a lot to him. You could just tell the aura around him. And even afterwards, like when he won, which I'm glad he did, I think that was the right move.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, Ibushi's a great big star for them, but I think this was an awesome thing to have Kenta go over, one of New Japan's biggest stars. It just shows you how serious they're taking Kenta, not only in their promotion, but in the G1.
And to do it in the United States, kind of maybe a little dig to NXT and the WWE, to have him go over one of the biggest stars on the first night of the G1 on American soil. I thought there was something to that as well. You talked about the stiffness in this match. Some of the kicks from Kenta were just brutal.
I mean, Ibushi looked legit, like, hurt at some points. Like, oh.
And also the kick when Ibushi tried to do the high cross body over the rope. I thought Ibushi got hurt there because he kind of acted like he might have been hurt. I'm sure it was selling. In fact,
he's pretty good at selling.
We're going to talk about a supposed injury, you know, and selling here in a minute in the other promotion. But you're right, Ibushi does sell pretty well. So hopefully that was nothing, and Kenta got the GTS to get the win and yelled, "I'm back," which I thought was a big statement as well.
Yeah, I just felt like there was a lot of respect shown towards him at the end of the match from the audience, from everyone involved, and it was cool to see. Like, it felt like we were in there with him in terms of experiencing the emotion there in the building. It was a special thing to witness with him getting the win. I just know it meant a lot to him, and everyone could tell that.
So I gotta laugh as I'm looking at our notes for
there's so many misspellings. Well, is that what you mean?
No, yeah, well, the autocorrect on the phone, because I'm rapidly typing, trying to watch.
We forgot our notebook. Yeah.
So I'm typing it on the notepad function on my phone, but I'm only kind of half paying attention. So on one of these things, Tanahashi autocorrected to Traba Hondo. So apparently he's a Mexican wrestler now or something.
Yeah, and what is Cloud Bear Falls for fantasy? Two Cloud Bear Falls, well, near falls, obviously, for,
two,
I don't know who's
too close
fantasy.
Near falls for, I'm guessing,
Tanahashi?
I'm guessing Okada, because it's
well, it wasn't voice text, so I guess it's not Tanahashi. Yeah. What rhymes with fantasy? What's close to fantasy? I don't know if it's Okada or Tanahashi, so this note here is pointless.
Well,
I have no idea. Two near falls for who? Who's fantasy?
I'm pretty sure that's probably for Tanahashi.
Yeah, I think so,
would be
too.
My guess. But let's... Our crazed notes, I can't even wait to see what our Impact notes look like, because I used the same app for that, too. And we had more to drink at Impact. The crowd pop for Okada, I thought, was awesome.
I thought it was kind of like dueling pops.
It was.
I thought people were torn.
But, I mean, the initial Okada entrance.
People love that entrance in the U.S. Really anywhere. Even back in Japan, people love it. But, like, I feel like I could feel the energy. I know there's people there specifically who had never seen Okada live, and they told me afterwards how much it meant to them. So it's kind of cool when you're in the building with people who are so hyped to see this for the first time, and you could feel that energy.
Okada kind of dominated early, then Tanahashi had his thing.
That high fly flow to the floor at one point, that was my favorite part. You know, we've been critical of Tanahashi in the past, kind of looking, I say the word stiff, I use that in the last little review about the Kenta match, but I mean it in a different way.
Right.
Stiff as in can't move as well, kind of getting older, just not as fluid in his movements. But he did not look stiff at all in this match. It's like he's back to his former glory, and it lived up to all the previous Tanahashi-Okada matches. Tanahashi looked great in this match, and that high fly flow, beautiful.
Another one of my funny notes here. A pretty dropkick and tombstone by Plaza.
Who's Plaza?
Obviously
Okada?
Obviously is Okada. Yeah. Best dropkick in the business.
Of course.
And then the tombstone.
I just can't believe Okada turned to Plaza. It's so weird.
It is funny. Okada gets the tombstone and the Rainmaker for the win. And he talked to the crowd in English. It was funny. He kind of started in Japanese. And he's like, oh, no, not Japanese.
Yeah.
And then he talked in American or English and gave a good speech, I thought.
Before we wrap up on the New Japan review, I want to know your overall thoughts of the show and your final grade of the show.
What did I say? I think I said, did I say an A- when we did our spare change? I think it's right on that A- B+ range. I thought it was a really good show.
A B+?
I said on the edge. I'm going to stick with the A- though.
But why is it close to a B+? I thought it was flipping wonderful.
It was great. It was fantastic. I thought both shows we went to this weekend were fantastic.
I had the most
but
fun
I don't,
ever.
I don't want to just give out A's.
What gets an A?
I don't know.
What has gotten an A?
I don't know. I guess I'd have to give that some thought. It was an A- show. It was great.
What's an A+ show?
I don't know.
Think about it. Tell me at the end of the show, what's an A+
I don't
for
know.
You?
You can't.
You've got to know. No, you've got to know one example so we can measure this against that.
No, I will come up with it at some point, or I'll tell you the next time I see an A+ show, I'll let you know.
But you've already seen one, probably.
I'm sure I have, but I don't.
I need to know this. Well, the viewers need to know, and the listeners, they do.
Well,
to gauge what an A- means.
They're out of luck. My brain's fried.
Whatever. I'm going to go with an A+. I had a great time. The crowd was awesome. The matches were incredible, especially Ospreay and Archer. I don't know. That blew my mind.
It did.
Really knocked my socks off.
It did. It was really good. It was awesome.
I really loved that night, and it was extra fun. We got to mention, we hung out with our great friends, Anthony and Olivia. I love seeing them. That was the best.
Yep.
We had the best burgers ever that day.
Rodeo Goat.
Yeah, Rodeo
Goat. If you go to Dallas, go to Rodeo Goat. It's in the Market Center area. And, man, some crazy concoctions with burgers, but, man, were they good. And Community Brewing Company is right down the street. You can get yourself delicious Mosaic IPA right down the street.
That's like your favorite IPA.
It is my favorite.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
That and Cigar Cities are my two favorite, probably.
I don't have a favorite IPA. I've only taken sips of some.
Yes.
But I have favorite other beers, like, you know,
well, you
Lazy Magnolia, Southern Pecan.
Well, and you like that, speaking of Dallas, you like the one from Braindead.
Braindead, yep. They've got a honey lager. Amazing. If you're ever in the Dallas area, guys, check that one out. I really enjoyed it quite a bit.
I just thinking about WrestleMania being in Tampa and all the Cigar City highlights I'm going to have.
Yeah, I know.
That's very exciting.
Another thing to mention about Dallas is a lot of their beers have honey in them. We kept noticing that there were a lot of honey lagers, and apparently someone told us that, you know, Texas, especially Southern Texas, what is wrong with my speech, is known for, you know, honey.
Yeah.
So that's why there's a lot of beers with honey in them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. And I liked a lot of them, too.
We also spent some time up in Denton and had fun up there, too.
I got a honey lager up there. Yeah.
That's what made me think of it as we watched the U.S. women win the World Cup at a place up in Denton, Texas. So a fun trip. That was Sunday afternoon. And then Sunday night, we made our way back to Dallas for Impact Slammiversary. That was at Gilly's Bar. Cool little venue. Of course, it reminded me, being a Red Sox fan, of Fenway, because there was a pillar right in front of us.
There was. That really made me not enjoy the show as much as the New Japan show. It was a great show. People were like, it's one of the best shows of the year. I was like, I don't know if it was the pillar or what, but I did not feel like that Impact show was the best.
No, I thought it was really, really good.
Higher or lower than New Japan?
I'll put it slightly lower. Like, I'll also put it at that B+, A- range, but I would put the G1 ahead of it.
I'd put it at just a B.
Yeah, see, that's a big disparity from A+ to B.
I don't know. I just did not enjoy it like everyone else did.
Well,
it was good, but I wasn't blown away. There's a lot of sloppy stuff. Maybe it's because I didn't get captured a lot, or maybe it's because of the pillar. I don't know, or the viewing angle. I loved, we'll get to it later, the main event, of course. Sami Callihan versus Tessa Blanchard making history. Basically the first intergender main event.
Yes,
in a big promotion.
In a big promotion.
So
yeah.
That was incredible. I loved every second of it. Tessa, it was awesome. And I think the finish was perfect. We'll get into that.
And the crowd was great. I think that's a perfect building for that kind of promotion, or Ring of Honor. I mean, it's a perfect size venue. Other than the pillars, you know, not bad on the sidelines anywhere.
Overall, I say B, because I really didn't enjoy it from bottom to top. But the last two matches were A+.
Well,
if you just took those away.
I'm going to go a lot deeper than that, because I thought there was a lot of depth in that show.
I can't believe you're rating it the same as the New Japan show. It was good.
I said slightly below.
I just
listen,
don't know.
Listen, I said slightly below.
Yeah, it's still in the same realm.
Started with the X Division Open Challenge, and we love Willie Mack.
I do love Willie
Mack. And he was so good. The stomp off the top, and then the splash.
The monster chop as well.
Oh, yeah, the chop.
He had some monster chops, and they just echoed.
But yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the insane corkscrew. Oh my God. Yeah, that's right. The springboard to all three by Miguel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was unbelievable as well.
Nuts. Some crazy athletic stuff in this, and that was no surprise. I was really, really happy to see Willie Mack get the win, because he's a personal favorite. Although my friend Trace says everyone's my favorite, so who really
favorite? That is true.
My friend Trace is like, if everyone's Kelsey's favorite, are they really, any of them really are her favorites?
Right.
I was like, I don't know.
Well, he's also said in the past, other than Roman Reigns, who do you truly dislike?
There's a few.
That list is short, too.
It is short. Yeah, I guess I just love everybody, for the most part.
Tai Chi and Roman Reigns, basically.
Yeah, maybe.
Are the only ones. Next match was that triple threat for the tag team, Rascals, LAX, and the new champions, the North. One of the things I noticed early on, and this probably dates back to some of their time in PWG as well, the Rascals really just work so well together as a tag team.
They do. They're really great. Got some great chemistry going.
I loved when Ethan Page tossed Wentz from the top rope onto the pile of people. I thought that was an incredible moment in the match. Paige, you know, he's a good wrestler. He just needs more personality, I think. But I think he is probably deserving of a tag team title run in the North. But I just need a little more from him somehow. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you know, somebody was, he was asking whose podcast he should be on, and people were like, Two-Face Wrestling Talk, you know, it's fun, it's light, it's different, it's got pop culture-y stuff. And he's like, light, yeah, I want to do that. That sounds great. And he was being all sarcastic. Well, they're like, fine, we won't interview you then, if you don't like our creativity and all that.
So the other, So the other moment in this match, and it's either great selling or it's really being buried one way or the other. There comes a moment in the match where Santana goes off the turnbuckle, lands on the ramp, grabs his knee, and screams FFF three times, and then rolls off the ramp. Then Conan goes over and looks at him, yells at the announce booth and the ringside table that they need help, and he puts up the X sign, and they come out. Meanwhile, the match ends. North wins. The Rascals come over and help Santana off. Santana looks visibly upset. The Rascals look really concerned. But then I'm hearing that it may be storyline because they're exiting. Other people are saying the injury is legit. They are scheduled to wrestle this weekend.
Well, and we haven't seen any tweets or anything saying that the match this weekend is canceled.
Right.
So it's either they haven't tweeted that out or advertised that it's canceled, or we're just not looking in the right places, or it's still going on.
Right.
I don't know. I really don't know. It's hard to say. And in fact, I saw a tweet from Santana saying he was going on vacation. When is he coming back? I don't know. That was like just today. So I don't know.
So I'm thinking now, I mean, look, if it was selling, and it's kind of, I'm kind of leaning towards it being selling, he did an amazing job. Because when I saw it, I tweeted it immediately because I thought it was legit. It looked like he landed awkwardly.
The way he said FFF and rolled out, and it just was really, and everyone seemed confused in the ring.
Right.
And then, if you remember, this is something that probably nobody saw, when they were helping him out of the ring, they let go of holding him for a second, and he almost, like, tumbled over.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't walk by himself.
Right.
Usually a wrestler might, like, if they let go of him, and he's not really hurt, and he's just selling, he might, like, limp a little bit, but still walk back.
Right.
He almost looked like he was about to tumble over for real.
Right.
And I don't know if the camera caught that, but I saw it in person.
Yeah. So, again, if he was selling, kudos to you, Santana. You had me completely sold. If you are hurt, well, I hope you get better.
Unrelated, I love Santana, and I think LAX is probably one of my favorite tag teams ever.
Yeah, they are fantastic. Speaking of teams that work really well together. Next match was Killer Cross versus Eddie Edwards. I thought this was just a picture of brutality. So many hard spots in this match.
Yeah, a lot of people are really high on Killer Cross. They're thinking he's going to be a big, big star. I mean, he's already pretty big for the promotion, but I think people are saying he's going to get better and better and bigger and higher on the card.
Just some brutal spots in this, especially the Edwards powerbomb onto the floor, onto the apron. Onto the apron. Edwards was slamming Cross onto the floor.
So it's important to know that this was a first blood match.
Right.
So whoever bled first was the loser. I swear to you, I thought I saw blood on Killer Cross before the end of the match. Like, on his back. I was like, is that blood? See, that's the danger with these type of matches. Anything,
you could have
even
an
redness.
Right.
I mean, what if there is a legit accident? I always think about with these first blood matches, like, what if something happens on accident? Like, somebody just gets a nosebleed. Oh, you lost, and it wasn't supposed to happen or something, you know? It's kind of funny. But yeah, Edwards ends up breaking a kendo stick in half and jamming the pointy end, you know, basically right onto Cross's head and mouth and face.
Yep.
All over him. And yeah, he was the first one to bleed, so Cross loses. Which I'm actually surprised that it went that direction.
Yeah, I kind of am too, if Cross is going to get the push. But Cross definitely got the impression, I think, that he needed in this match. And it was a good one.
I can't wait to talk about this next match for the promo leading into it alone.
Yeah, the
RVD.
RVD? Yeah, go ahead.
RVD, how high are you when you were doing that promo before the match? Man, he just couldn't get through it. It did not seem like...
Well, and his eyes were so red.
I know. Yeah. He was, like, talking, and he was... At one point, he was, like, saying something. I can't remember what he said, but then he was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, he apologized because he messed up in what he was supposed to say or something. It was very weird. I'd have to go back and listen to it to find out exactly what he said, but we both thought he was high as hell.
Yeah, I totally did. Overall, I thought he looked decent. He's not a kid anymore, and Moose continues to impress me. Some of his kicks in particular look really good. I like his finishing kind of flip spear. I think that's kind of a neat move, too.
I will say on Twitter, I saw some people saying they thought this was kind of like a mediocre match. I, like you, thought RVD did way better than I thought because the last few times he had wrestled... when I actually watched him quite a bit, was his last run in WWE. And I did think his last run was kind of like lackluster towards the end. So to me, he looked better than the end of his WWE run last time. So I was impressed because I thought he looked like more like old RVD than last WWE run RVD.
But Moose got the win. The next match, I might actually contend, was the match of the show. It was really good.
I don't think it was better than the main event.
I think it was probably top two, and this is why I said at the beginning of the show the women stole, because obviously
Tessa
and Sammy, and then this monstrous ball match between Valkyrie, Havoc, Suyin, and Rosemary had it all. I thought it was great. It was a chance for them to show some of the brutality that the guys get to do, the use of the staple gun, even though that's kind of a ridiculous thing. It still looked good, especially when she stapled the impact poster to Sue's head.
This made me really amped up for Havoc versus Havoc, basically in August. It's going to be an incredible match. It's not an impact,
right?
But Jimmy Havoc will be facing Jessica Havoc, and it's going to be incredible. What a hardcore match that will be. Intergender as well, of course.
And she had that great move on Valkyrie where she dropped her onto the chair with an elbow drop that was really impressive. And then Valkyrie goes, "Hey, you bitches," and hits Sue and Rosemary with a ladder and drops onto the ladder. Drops Suyin onto the ladder.
I like how it says Rosemary duplexes instead of suplexes. That's funny.
That suplex of Rosemary of Sue onto the ladder from the top rope was quite the spot.
Yeah, that was. There was some good spots in this. I just really liked the main event story better. Gimmick matches are easy to be really good, but it was cool because it was a women's gimmick match, and it was a hardcore one. So to me, they did well with what they were delivered to do. They exceeded what they were supposed to do, and it was a great match, but it just wasn't my top match of the show.
I mean, what women's promotion have you seen, major promotion, where tacks were introduced?
None, really. Yeah. That was crazy when they... Who got their face slammed in? Was that Rosemary got her face slammed into the tacks?
Yeah, Valkyrie stomped Rosemary's face
into
the
tacks. Oh, that
was nuts. But Rosemary was the one that introduced the tacks, and the crowd started chanting, "You sick F," and she just got this big grin. She loved...
Well, she actually pointed to herself and said, yeah. Shook her head yes.
Kind of like when when Moxley got the "You sick F" chant.
And he bowed.
And he took a bow.
Yes, exactly. Just like that.
They embrace it. Rosemary took a beating in this between the face first and the tacks, and then she basically got rock bottom through a table. Havoc would pile drive Sue onto the tacks from the top rope, which was incredible, but Valkyrie would hit her with a chair and steal the pin.
Why don't you like her?
Who?
Valkyrie.
I don't dislike her.
She's okay.
She's decent, but...
I think she's awesome. I love her.
But I think Rosemary and Sue are awesome, and Havoc's awesome, so...
I like Sue, and I like the whole idea of the mandible claw, but it's just so unbelievable. Her outfit, to me, is what kills it for me, because it's like she's wearing this torn-up bloody sheet, but you could see, like, her gym shorts underneath. To me, it's like have some kind of, like, matching, like, bloody undergarments. Not undergarments, but, like, you know, shorts underneath that look bloody like the top, because you could just clearly see their athletic shorts. It takes me out of it. And, like, the bloody glove is a little unbelievable, too, seeing the shorts underneath. Like, it just doesn't tie together. It needs to be changed a little. Okay. I love the bridal thing. I love her song. In fact, we forgot how much we loved her entrance music.
No, Rosemary and Sue Young's are two of my favorite entrance musics in all of Impact.
Yeah, all of Impact, to me, as a whole... they don't have the greatest entrance music.
No.
But like I said, they particularly have good music out of all of Impact's music.
Swan and Impact, which rumors are Impact's contract is up as well. So
Johnny Impact.
Yeah, Johnny Impact. So we'll see what happens with him. I thought this was a good match, but it was almost kind of a come-down match after how good the Monsters Ball was.
I will agree with you on that, actually. I did like the Monsters Ball match better than this match, but I think it's because Johnny doesn't excite you and me. I feel like we've talked about this before. He's athletic. He's really smooth, really impressive. He's got the look everyone thinks of when they think of a wrestler, like, you know, the traditional sense of a wrestler. But to me, his personality doesn't excite me, but I do like him better as a heel, and he was definitely working as a heel. So that gives him a little something, but overall, even with that, he's not my favorite.
I love the Rich Swann lightning strikes and kicks, which kind of set things up, and he got the finish off of the top rope. Elgin and Cage, I was very excited about it. We were kind of in the minority cheering for Big Mike.
Well, I mean, yeah, there was all that scandal stuff, yeah. You know, so people really love to hate Big Mike at this point.
The video package to set things up, I thought was great.
It was
really well done.
Yeah, they had some good video packages, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'm not a fan of some of their packages, but for Slammiversary, I gotta say, I give them a thumbs up for what they did. And I gotta say, this is my second favorite match of the night. Monsters Ball would have to be the third, but it's very close, second and third. But
yeah.
I just thought, okay, Elgin and Cage are like two huge brutes going at it. And when they ran into each other to begin the match, right when the bell rang, oh my God. I even said in our spare change video that we recorded right after the show was over live, we said, man, that was like Clash of the Titans wrestling edition. Like, you know, the movie Clash of the Titans, old school.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Yeah, really bad.
Harry Hamlin.
Yes. Yep. Bad claymation and stuff. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was. But this match was not terrible, but it was like two Titans meeting up, and those guys are monsters. But the cool thing is, and I've said this time and time again, they're agile. And that's what impressed me. Like, when Mike had Cage up in the air and did a razor's edge, I was just blown away. Because you know how freaking big Cage is?
Well, I mean, how about Cage with a springboard DDT, a 619, and a Falcon Arrow? Elgin later in the match with a deadlift powerbomb.
I know. And they were flying. Everything was just so cool.
Cage did a flip over the top rope.
I know.
I mean, it's just, you know.
So power, but agility. Well, mixed together.
I mean, I even wrote it down. Ridiculous athleticism for these two big guys. It is just ridiculous. And Elgin hit that buckle bomb, but Cage would get the sit-down pin. And then Elgin went on the attack afterwards. So clearly this is not going to be the last time they go after each other.
I hope not. I want to see it again. I'd see it as many times as they wanted to show it to me.
And
it was awesome.
I love this storyline where Elgin and Callis are mixing it up. And Callis was about to get his butt kicked by Elgin.
It's ironic because, you know, Don Callis doesn't bump for just anybody. Like, he talks about on his podcast about how he, I don't just bump for anybody. And you gotta measure your bumps and all this stupid stuff. But he'll bump for Omega and Jericho. And now he'll bump for Big Mike. So I think this is a lot about how much he likes Elgin.
He was about to pile drive him, and then a mystery man came in and speared Elgin. We'll have to see who the mystery man was. I haven't seen any speculation online on who that was, so I don't know. All right, main event, Callahan versus Tessa, intergender, great video package to come to the ring. Tessa comes to the ring with her own baseball bat.
I love everything about this match. Everything about it. I love her entrance. I love Sammy being all impatient and like rolling his eyes at her entrance. Like, come on, get this over with. Like, you're nothing.
You're
stupid.
You're a girl.
Yeah,
come
you're
on.
A girl. We don't need this entrance. Like, it just, his face screamed that to me. It was awesome.
Well, and I love early on, Tessa says, screw you, Sammy, before she hits two suicide dives on the third one.
Yes.
Callahan catches her and just ragdolls her into the barricade. And that's when I was like, all right, this is not that I thought it was going to be a delicate match, but this was like, all right, he's going to hammer her some.
But no, but she hammered him too. I mean,
right.
Like, it was so awesome. And you know that cutter on the ramp on the outside? Like, that was nuts. Oh my God. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. It was just amazing.
Ref gets knocked out, and Sammy hits her with a bat. Which
I like how he didn't hold back or anything.
Nope.
Like, they actually went there. I think it was cool because I think that people get uncomfortable with men and women fighting in the ring because they equate it with, like, domestic violence. But when you're thinking about an athletic competition, if you think of it like any other match, they're not treating, like, Callahan was not treating Tessa like a woman. He was treating her like an equal. Mm-hmm. That's why he was okay with using the bat on her. So to me, it's like a compliment that he used the bat on her still in the match story-wise. So I feel like that's, like, respectful in a way. It's showing that to him, she's a contender that he must hurt to beat. Right. He thinks he has to go the extra mile and use that bat. And the bat comes back into play a little bit later. Tessa's bat, though.
Right. She spits on Sammy and low blows him with the bat.
Yeah.
And I love this touch, too. Sammy hits a pile driver on her, and she kicks out and takes a second one to finally put Tessa away. I thought that was a good touch, too.
Took more than one, exactly. Yep. And then my favorite whole part was after the match was over, when she's kind of laying there, and she just looks distraught, like, and spent. Her face looks like she's, like, about to cry. But it looked like almost like, oh, man, I didn't do it, but also, like, a happy kind of cry, in a way. I could be reading way too much into this, but it was just perfect, like a proudness at the same time, even with the loss and the stinging of, you know, losing against Sammy. All that, I think, was conveyed with her body language and her facial expression. Then, you know, Callahan kind of looks at her, grabs her bat. You think he might hurt her, but he shows her the ultimate respect and hands her the bat and, like, nods his head. And he walks out and lets her be the last person in the ring. And then she gets chants from the audience being like, Tessa, Tessa. It was just so powerful. I don't know. It was awesome.
No, it was I really thought it was a really good show. And that's why
it was my favorite match.
That's why I thought it was comparable in a grading-wise to G1, even though the shows and the match types were completely different, which is why I thought it was such an intriguing weekend of two huge shows, but that were both kind of different. And look, I wish we had more time for Impact. I wish their pay-per-views didn't cost what they cost, because a show like they put on Sunday showed that they do have great talent and can put on a good show, but they're buried on a network we can't get. And yeah, I know we can find it somehow, but how much work do we want to go into it? And then again, the prices of the pay-per-views have been outrageous. And so, you know, I would plead with Impact, bring the price down, because you've got a product that I think you should get out to the public more.
I mean, the funny thing is, Callahan, he is one of my favorites. I'm not just saying that to say it. He truly is a favorite of mine. I've been saying that for, like, what, a year and a half now?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very long time. But we hardly ever watch him anymore.
Yeah.
But this reminded me how much I truly love him. Yeah. I wish I saw more of him.
No, I do, too. And Tessa and Rosemary and Sue and, you know, I mean, Eddie Edwards is crazy. I'm intrigued by Killer Cross's ascent. I think Moose has some talent. So there's definitely talent there.
I think it's cool
there.
Big Mike being there, too.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Like, no one else will really have him. But I think he could do some cool stuff with people on the roster. Like I said, Brian Cage, I kind of enjoy. I know some people don't like him, but I do like him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, especially when they let him do the athleticism.
The whole thing is, Callis had this whole philosophy I heard him talk about on Killing the Town podcast. That's his podcast. He's talked about in the past how he's told Cage, you know, you're a big man, don't just fly all the time, don't just bump for anybody, you gotta measure those things out. And I think that's cool, but I think what makes Cage different, I could see where Callis is coming from, but what makes Cage different is that he can fly. He is the big guy with the athleticism, and that's what I think separates him from every other big man ever. So to me, utilize it, use it.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And so, good work by Impact. Glad we got a chance to stick around in Dallas, because we originally were just going to go to the G1, but had reason to stay, and glad we did.
Yeah, me too. It was awesome.
Let's move ahead to this weekend and two big shows, and one we'll get to after the break, but we're going to talk a little WWE here. Extreme Rules. One of the things I want to get off to real quickly, playing off of SmackDown, was for weeks, we've had this, who is Aleister Black going to face? And instead of waiting until the pay-per-view, they revealed it in the interview on Thursday. Why couldn't it have been a surprise reveal at the arena?
Why do they do anything they do? Well, I don't know.
I just thought, I'm like, just have Cesaro's music hit at the pay-per-view. Like, have Black come down to the ring, sit, doing his sit in the middle of the ring, and everybody going, all right, who's he going to face?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like a misstep that they did. And another one is, you've got Kevin Owens cutting some of the best promos ever, yet I don't see him having a match unless we just missed the announcement. He doesn't have an official match at this show.
No, I mean, I'm assuming they're building for a future match again with KO and Ziggler, or they're going to add it to the pay-per-view. As of when we're recording this, it's not on the card, but
right.
Obviously it seems like they're building something, or they're building something else. We'll get to KO's promo in a second. We'll discuss that a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you like as you look at this match card?
I like two matches jump out at me right away. One being Ricochet versus AJ Styles. Should be incredible. Both guys very athletic. Two of my favorites in the ring, and I just think it's going to be jaw-dropping.
I agree.
With the athleticism, you know?
I wish they hadn't gone so much already on Raw. Again, they've given away too much of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be interested to see what they do in that United States Championship.
I'm hoping it'll be long.
Yeah.
They never do long matches when I want it to. So I'm not going to get my hopes up about the length too much. But other match that jumps out, Kofi versus Samoa Joe. How much I love Samoa
Joe. Me too.
And Kofi's been a great babyface champion. So I think this should be a really cool match, a really cool interaction between the two of them. Dichotomy. I'm going to like it. And honorable mention real quick, I do want to see how Black versus Cesaro unfolds.
I mean, two great, right? I know. I think it should be a really good match. I just think they blew the surprise.
Yes, I agree with you.
Look, I'm actually intrigued on a lot of matches. Revival versus Usos, the SmackDown Tag Team Triple Threat match I think could be really good. The last man standing between Strowman and Lashley could be intriguing, because how are they going to top the whole LED board thing?
Yeah.
Because this match obviously is going to go everywhere.
I feel like the pay-per-view match needed that, the LED thing.
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Basically, one's going to have to kill the other.
You know what I just thought of? The Oos Boos, because I don't like them. Boos.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Whatever.
I hate the Usos.
Whatever.
Oos Boos.
I'm down since day one-ish.
Oh, God. Well, I'm down since day one, period, which means I'm for the Briscoes who wear the shirt down since day one.
That's true. Finally, before we go to commercial.
Or since day one.
We know what the main event's going to be. What do you think of this mixed tag, winner take all?
Hate it. I hate it. I don't like Becky and Seth on camera together. I think it's awkward. Not because they're a couple on camera, because that's happened many a times. It's their chemistry. I don't feel it. I think it's very cringy.
What about the match itself?
Don't care. I don't care about Corbin. I don't care about Lacey Evans teaming together. I don't care.
All right.
There's nothing about that match that makes me care. Do you care?
Mildly, just because it's a winner take all.
I just.
But other than that, no. Not really. No. No. Look, if I'm booking it, obviously I'm putting Kofi and Samoa as the main event. But,
yeah, me too, but they're not going to do
no
that.
No chance.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Kofi should be booked like a champion and given respect. He should be the main event, but he's not going to be. They constantly book the Universal title as the main event.
There's no doubt about that.
So.
Which is weird, because the WWE title is really the main title.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever indeed. So that's going to do it for our first segment. When we come back, we turn our attention to AEW and the show we will be at in Jacksonville this weekend, Fight for the Fallen. And we interview the creator of our logo and so much amazing artwork, Eric Hotson, and tell you how you can win some of his work for yourself.
Two Face Wrestling Talk is proud to be sponsored by Wrestling Travel. Check them out on Twitter at Wrestling Travel. Also go to their website, wrestlingtravel.org, to find out about all the exciting travel packages, including a travel package to All Out, which includes 4 nights hotel stay, StarCast Platinum Bracelet, and a lower bowl ticket across from the hard cam. They also have a very fun Wrestle Kingdom travel package, which includes round-trip airfare, 5-night hotel near the Tokyo Dome, lower bowl tickets to both days of Wrestle Kingdom, and guided tours by Being the Elite's Fat-ass Masa. Come on, who wouldn't want to hang out with Masa? I think that's like the coolest thing they offer. You get to have some time with him, meet him, interact with him. He'll literally be hanging with you. And you'd get to be a part of the first 2-day Wrestle Kingdom, which is going to be really special in my opinion. They also have travel packages to WWE events, including WrestleMania 36, which you can sign up for information at wrestlingtravel.org. And they've got packages to the Royal Rumble as well, plus other events too. Check out their website. There are USA travel packages, but also UK travel packages. So whether you live in the UK or where we live in the United States, you can find something for you. Also, don't forget they've got a friendly staff that can help you out. DM them on Twitter or contact them through their website.
Thanks, Wrestling Travel.
And now back to Two-Face Wrestling Talk.
Well, you know, we've got that tropical storm Barry in the Gulf right now, but Barry can't get us down because we're very excited to be going to fight for the fallen.
You told me you had something cheesy, and well, you didn't undersell it. That was cheesy.
I know. Oh, like little bears. Barry! Okay. But yes, it can't keep us down. We're traveling to Fight for the Fallen, and we're super pumped about seeing this show live in person.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not this knock your socks off card, but it's really good. I mean, right off on the pre-show, Jimmy Havoc, Darby Allin, and Joey Janela versus Shawn Spears, Sammy Guevara, and MJF. This may be the match I'm looking forward to the most.
Me too. Why is it on the pre-show?
I know.
I hate that it's on the pre-show, but it is what it is. I really wish Havoc would hurry up and get a singles match already so he could show that he's going to shine. And yet again, here he is teaming with Janela and Allin, who both shined on this last pay-per-view, the Fyter Fest show. And I feel like Havoc might yet again be overshadowed and outshined. Not that he's not just as good, if not better, but they're not going to have as many spots for him to make an impression with the audience. So to me, I can't wait for Havoc to have his first singles match, honestly. That way he can shine and people can really find out what Havoc's all about and why he's so special, because he is special.
Yeah, he is, and I can't wait to see that match. I can't wait to hear MJF on the mic and what he's going to say about the good people of Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be some gold. Because growing up in Florida, living close to Jacksonville, I've heard some of the shots about Jacksonville. People always say, oh, it's basically Birmingham with a beach. Not that there's anything wrong with Birmingham.
I like beaches.
And I like Birmingham and I like Jacksonville. But
so there you go.
We'll see how people, or how MJF attacks the city of Jacksonville. I'm sure he'll be right on it. Young Bucks versus Cody and Dustin.
I think this could be really cool. I'm very much looking forward to it. I think story-wise it could be awesome. You might worry about the in-ring work because, you know, Cody's not my favorite in-ring
clash
guy.
Clash of styles, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, definitely clash. But I think it's going to be interesting and entertaining. I think they could pull off something good.
Who wins that, do you think? I mean,
Cody and Dustin for the feel-good win.
That's what part of me says that. Part of me thinks the Young Bucks win it for
because they're a true tag team.
Right.
Tried and true.
Plus,
I don't know, though.
Plus, you know, I haven't seen any proof that the Young Bucks are going to let anybody else get over against them, so.
Whatever. They dropped the belts to the Lucha Brothers.
Yes.
So not, they
not,
did.
Not in AEW, not in their promotion.
Ever.
Omega.
You're always attacking my boys.
Omega versus Shima. We've seen Shima, of course, in PWG.
Yeah.
I think this could
and
be
a lot of places, yeah. This could be great.
Yeah, it could be an underrated type of match. Paige and Sabian could be good. Brandi Rhodes versus Allie, I'm not sure about that.
I'm pretty positive it's not going to be good. Wow. No offense to you guys who like Brandi. I don't think Brandi is very strong in the ring. I think she's great as a personality all around. I think she's great business-wise.
Well,
like, I think she's got a great mind, and she's great at cutting promos. She's great in a lot of accounts, but I feel like her in-ring work still needs a lot of work. She could have improved, though. It's been a while since we've seen her in the ring for a long period of time, and her spears against guys look really good.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, the last women's match I saw her in, I didn't like very much.
When, you know, I would think on the flip side, Allie, you know, her match at the last show, the Fyter Fest, wasn't overly exciting, so she may be looking to really put together a good performance on this show.
There's lots of criticism about that Allie match, you know, on that pre-show, like you said. So, yeah, maybe she's got something to prove.
Hope so. The other match I'm truly excited about, because you know how much I love them, the Lucha Brothers
yes.
against SCU.
It should be amazing.
Should.
I'm guessing you're going to go for the Lucha Brothers.
Well, it's tough, but yeah, I got to go with my guys.
Yeah, I know. You have no choice, really.
SCU.
That's what I'll just. I don't really have one that I'm rooting for over the other, but I just want to scream SCU.
Of course.
SCU and do the U thing. Like, that's ridiculous.
Anything else?
Yes.
That you want to make a note of?
I do want to mention that B. Priestley's first match, it's in AEW, it will be at Fight for the Fallen. We don't know the opponent as of our recording right now. I really like her. If you guys aren't familiar, she's wonderful. And Will Ospreay calls her his missus. So, basically, she's Ospreay's girlfriend. If you might be familiar with Ospreay kind of touting about his missus, that's her.
And they raise a couple of adorable pugs together, too.
God, yes, they've got the cutest pugs, and they're named after Harry Potter characters. Oh, they're so cute. But I really like them on air as a couple together. They've been in front of the camera quite a few times. Unlike Becky Lynch and Seth, I feel like they have got great chemistry on camera, but also off camera. I really love seeing anything about them together. They're really awesome. But more importantly, she's a wonderful wrestler, away and apart from Ospreay. She's great. I really like her, and I wonder who she's going to be facing. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Another thing I want to mention, Dark Order. We've talked about them a few times. Lots of people don't really know much about them. Lots of people are not digging the gimmick. They were formerly known as the Super Smash Brothers. They had great matches in PWG, especially against the Young Bucks. That's why they're in this company, I believe, because they've got a long relationship and history with the Young Bucks, and the Young Bucks love them. They also had a wonderful match against the Young Bucks in Ring of Honor. You could find that on Honor Club. If you're already an Honor Club member, you can go back and watch it in the vaults. Just search to find out what month and what show it's a part of. All you have to do is say Super Smash Brothers versus Young Bucks.
I think it was last summer in Toronto.
It was 2018, yes.
Yeah, and I think it was a show in Toronto.
It very well could be. So anyway, Dark Order are finally going to be having a match in AEW versus Jack Evans and Angelico versus Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. That should be really cool. I'm looking forward to it. And the most thing I'm looking forward to is Dark Order showing that they can wrestle and be great. And people saying, oh, okay, now that I've seen them wrestle, I buy into them. That's what I'm looking forward to. Because I have no doubt once people see them wrestle, all their doubts about what they're doing with their gimmick will go away. They won't even care. They'll be like, oh, they're great wrestlers. Who cares?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah.
Yep. Should be a great show in Jacksonville. And of course, we will talk about it next week here on the podcast. Now, AEW has aligned itself with StarCast. And Eric Hodson, the gentleman who has created so much great artwork, including our Two-Face Wrestling Talk logo and our StarCast poster from last year, we interviewed him this year at StarCast.
We did, and we really enjoyed talking with him. He's done so many great things, including, you'll hear more about in this interview, his Roddy Piper comic book and other projects he's got going on. Really passionate guy, really talented guy. Let's hear what he has to say. I'm here with one of my favorite people. I say it every time I see him, Eric Hodson. His artwork is incredible. He's one of the most talented guys I know. And, you know, he's got new work coming out all the time. Not only that, he's working on a Roddy Piper comic book. So talk about what you're working on now, Eric, and what are you most excited about?
Well, let me try to finish blushing after that great introduction there, Kelsey. Yeah, like you said, the Roddy Piper book, it's in full swing. Still on track to be done with all the principal work by the end of the year, get it bundled up and get it out to all of the people who supported it and get it on the Pro Wrestling Tees website for sale next year. Excited about that. And yeah, I'm doing lots of, we got a lot of irons in the fire. A lot of stuff I can't talk about because we're still working the feelings, but I'm not going anywhere in the world of professional wrestling. And I'm really excited. My new piece that I'm going to debut right here at this show, All Elite Wrestlers. This is a takeoff of New Warriors number one, and I thought it was really appropriate, especially given the fact that this is a brand new company with AEW. Great show last night. I mean, and what can I say? A lot of fun.
Yep, and we're going to do a giveaway for this piece. Eric's so nice to let us do a giveaway contest, so stay tuned on the details on that. We're really excited to be able to give some of our followers this print. You have the chance to win. Really nice of Eric. And I love the way it looks. You know, talk about the inspiration behind it, which cover it's based on. And also, you mentioned the show that we're here at StarCast for.
Absolutely, yeah.
Double or Nothing. What did you think of that, too?
Gosh, Double or Nothing really delivered. And I've been telling people, look, for me, there's three favorite matches. Last night, we got all the feelings. We had a really good story between the Cody and Dustin. I mean, I was choking up. I don't know about you. And then we had some amazing acrobatic wrestling with the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers. And then Jericho and Kenny basically put on a clinic. That's how you do it as a professional wrestler. Amazing. No spoilers. Ending was terrific. If you haven't seen it yet, go find wherever you can find it. Pay for it. Watch it. It's beautiful.
It really is beautiful. Like your artwork of All Elite Wrestlers, that comic book cover, which issue is that based on?
It was New Warriors number one is which I based it on. And what they did was they had all these brand new talent bursting out of this backdrop of old comics. So I put a lot of my old pieces back there, and I got all the elites busting out of it. And I put Christopher Daniels in there because that guy is an elite. Don't let him tell you any different.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite wrestlers. I really love him. I mean, just such a veteran guy, like knows how to do things in the ring. Another guy that I love, but who's sadly not with us, is Brian Pillman. But you've got a great Pillman piece. Tell me what that is based off of.
That is based off of a Captain Marvel, the original Captain Marvel book from the 1970s. And it just, the original one of it had it broken up into sections, and it was perfect for me to do different sections of his life. So I've got a piece, a part in there where he's partnered up with Stone Cold Steve Austin, the Hollywood Blondes era, his early kind of going crazy era, and then, of course, the final part of it, the Loose Cannon era part of it too, a little nod to ECW on his t-shirt. So I really tried to capture his entire career in one piece as best as I could. His big feud with Goldust, for example, that's one of the sections of it, and I'm really thrilled about it. It's one of my favorites that I got to do for StarCast as an exclusive.
It's one of my favorites too. And talk about the other StarCast pieces that you were contracted to do, and working with the StarCast people in general. How's that been?
That's been overwhelmingly wonderful for me. Conrad has been more than generous. Working with him is really easy. He lets me do pretty much whatever I want to do. He just tells me, I want you to do these. And for StarCast 2 here, the center column, you can see the Bret Hart sharpshooter at the top, the Ric Flair roast, which we didn't get to do, but I was so thrilled with it. And I just met Ron Funches not too long ago and gave him one. He was really thrilled with it too. Hopefully we'll get to have that at the next event. Pillman, which we just talked about, the I Quit match, I had never seen that match before until I got an email saying, hey, I want you to draw something for this. So I had to do my research. I found that match. It's like, cringeworthy. So if you guys haven't seen that match, Google it, or if you got the network, it's on the network. That is paying your dues.
Yeah, and of course you're referencing the Tully Blanchard Magnum TA match. Yep. Really brutal, and I also really like your Sting piece. Talk about that piece.
The Sting piece, with a tribute to a lot of his different face paints for the Behind the Paint special, and that was a lot of fun to put together because I got to do a lot of research on him and watch a lot of old matches and try to capture some of his iconic face paints that he's had over the years. My personal favorite, I loved the whole Surfer Sting. You know, I grew up with that, so that was awesome to be able to draw that. And like I said, StarCast and Conrad Thompson, they've just been overwhelmingly great. This is a great show. So when it comes to your neighborhood, whether it's going to be at Chicago for All Out or whatever's going on, get your tickets, get in here, meet some talent, and come hang out with me and everybody else in this fabulous giant family.
Yeah, it's really been a lot of fun, and I'm going to put you on the spot here. You've got so many pieces of art, and they're all amazing, but if you had to pick one, which would be your ultimate favorite right now?
My ultimate favorite is going to have to be the Fantastic Four Horsemen. I got the thing on my wall with all five signatures, and that's like the centerpiece of my collection for my personal stuff. So, yeah, definitely that one, which sold out all weekend, so...
Well, that says a lot right there. I really love that piece, too. That's a good choice, Eric. I mean, it's really hard for me to pick one at all. I really love them so much. And if you guys aren't aware, you really got to find Eric. Invest in his artwork. There's not a lot of awareness, I believe, for wrestling artists. I feel like we've got to support the ones that are out there, and Eric's the best of the best. So, Eric, how can people find you? How can people find your art?
Well, the easiest thing to do is to hop on your social medias. And I have this handy little card here. Dreaded Dinosaur is my handle on all social medias. That's named after my webcomic, which is on Webtoon, called Dreaded Dinosaur Man, which I'll hopefully get back to as soon as I'm done with the Roddy Piper comic. But, yeah, and you can feel free to DM me on any of these platforms. And, you know, I'd love to have a bigger family of customers and fans. And just, you know, and I'm always looking for input because I don't have all the best ideas. And I've gotten a lot from people who've just messaged me, hey, you know what would be cool? I love this comic. It would go great with this wrestler or this match is my favorite match. Because really what I'm doing with my work is I'm doing a historical survey of professional wrestling, kind of telling the history through classic nostalgia of comic art. And eventually hope to put a, like a hardback book out, and we'll do a whole written encyclopedia.
I can't wait for that day. That'll be quite the book, and I would totally buy it.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for your time, as always, Eric.
Thank
You're a pleasure.
You. Absolutely. And you guys, if you're not subscribed to this podcast, get subscribed to it. It's going places.
You heard it from the man himself. Thanks so much. So Eric mentioned a giveaway, and it's for one of his really cool posters, his All Elite Wrestling poster. And to win, what we're going to do is I'm going to have a tweet out after the podcast is released promoting the podcast, but also promoting Eric's Twitter. It'll have his Twitter handle on it. And you guys, to be entered to win, you have to retweet the tweet, like the tweet, and follow Super Kicking It, which is where I'll tweet it from. Also follow Two Face Pod. I'll know if you follow both because I run both accounts. So yeah, follow Super Kicking It, SuperKickingIt, and Two Face Pod, TWOFACEDPOD, and like and retweet the tweet.
And again, the artwork is fantastic. He said he will give away two of those to two contestant winners. So make sure you get your entries in for this spectacular piece of artwork. And you saw in the interview, he did some great stuff during StarCast for some of the panels and stuff as well. He is amazing.
We still have to place an order with him. He's got like that cool Pillman one. Oh, he's got so many cool, cool artworks.
Oh, I mean, we could easily spend hundreds of dollars on his artwork.
I know, we really love it. We always have it on our set, but we have magnets now. But we have them underneath that we've hung them up. You just can't see because our bodies are blocking it.
Because I'm too big, but there it is.
You just have a normal body that's taller than like the mid-level wall.
Or I'm fat. One of the two.
Shut up. No one wants to hear this.
Hey, I'm realistic. I know.
Whatever. All right. Well, after Paul's whole little tangent thing, we want to thank you guys for spending your time with us. It's really valuable. It means a lot to us.
And we want to remind you, right after Fight for the Fallen, make sure you go to our Twitter, Two Face Pod, and we are going to do our Spare Change segment. It'll also be on at Super Kicking It.
Yep. And basically what Spare Change is, to people who are unfamiliar, is just like a quick 2-minute recap video that plays live. We do it about 2 minutes because that's all Twitter allows you to do for a video to play in full.
Well, and it's the best way to capture our immediate emotions after the show. And then, of course, when we get to the podcast, we go more in depth. But it gives you guys the feel of what it was like to be live, because that's when we do these Spare Changes.
And it gives us the chance to give like our initial right away, like instant reactions, which I really think is cool and raw, and not a lot of people do that type of thing, where they do some quick wrap-ups. And the cool thing is, a lot of times, unless someone tries to kick us out, which lots of times they do, there's a ring behind us usually with people going, and it's like really cool visually. It's neat.
It really is the biggest challenge of doing the Spare Change. These security people at these buildings can't get people out of the building quick enough. I mean, we literally record these right after, and both in both shows in Dallas, we had somebody over our shoulder or somebody ready to get us out of the building. It's like, give us 2 minutes.
So for the G1 show, you could see me doing these big eyes, like off to the side. It's because this lady came over and she's like, and you were like, 1 minute, like with your hand. And we thought it might be too distracting, but we went back and watched and you couldn't really tell we were glaring at the security.
And then
lady.
The one at Gilly's bar, he was nice enough to let us finish, but literally the second we turned off the phone, he was like, all right, you guys got to get out of here.
Yeah, it's
like,
ridiculous.
It's like, I don't know what...
What do they think we're doing on our phones? Like a 20-minute review, I guess. Maybe.
I guess, or they're just so anxious to get people out of the building.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know. So, regardless, we will have one of those Fight for the Fall.
We will. And those security guards might not appreciate our time, but we are really glad that you guys use your time to spend it with us. We really appreciate that. So thank you so much. We're appreciative.
Yes.
Appreciative. Whatever the heck. I can't speak today. Just ignore all my flubs. So thank you guys so much. Until next week, that's it for us. That's the finish.